From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. All right, breaking news. The Baltimore Sun is weighing in on the bridge collapse in Baltimore by the Baltimore Inner Harbor, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, built 1977, I believe. Of course, went into the water when the Singapore-registered freight cargo ship crashed into one of the anchors, the pilings or whatever, I guess you'd call it, the supports of the bridge, and the whole thing collapsed, at least four dead, maybe more. They have some advice, and they feature an academic warning that, oh yes, we're going there. We're going there early. We're going there fast. Climate change must be factored into rebuilding the Key Bridge. How does the new bridge withstand climate change? Okay, here we go. Baltimore Sun, this is today, March 28, 2024. Natalie M. Scala, associate professor at Towson University, who directs the graduate program in supply chain management, said any prudent bridge discussion should include thinking about how the world will change over the next century, especially concerning how sea level rise could affect the port of Baltimore. First of all, this is a supply chain management specialist with the University of Towson in Baltimore. And the only way we can go forward with rebuilding the bridge is if we have a, quote, prudent bridge discussion, unquote, about climate change. And her specialty is supply chains. Do you want a supply chain person who's worried about bridges and climate change and potential collapse due to climate change? Let's continue. If we are smart about this, we're going to ask, how does the bridge withstand climate change? Scala said, when the Key Bridge was built, ships were not this large. What kind of engineering can be done to support the kind of shipping we do now? That's a reasonable point. So the Baltimore Sun is opening it up. I've been looking very hard. No one has directly linked it, at least on social media or news or corporate media or even any email lists, Twitter. I've been checking everywhere. Not yet. Not as of this broadcast. Have they gone further than that? They're already introducing climate change carefully into this. Okay. Why is this important? Well, let's go back to 2007. Global warming claimed to have caused the Minnesota bridge collapse. This was Joseph Rome, who I actually debated on a TV show in 2009. He's a former assistant secretary of U.S. Department of Energy under President Bill Clinton. Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary, he had several jobs in the Clinton administration. He titled a piece back in 2007, Did Climate Change Contribute to the Minneapolis Bridge Collapse? And this is, I wanted to see, hold on, let me find it here. Well, okay, don't have his exact quote on that, but Joe Rome went on to basically say bad weather, the heat wave melted the supports. Okay. That's one example. Now, I said, since the same federal research sought a link between climate change and fatal car crashes, and yes, they did. And by the way, if you were a car on that bridge, you would have been a fatal car crash in the Baltimore Key Bridge. Anyone dying in a car crash could be listed as a climate death. This is according to the Obama administration. U.S. Department of Transportation did research asking how climate change might increase the risk of fatal car crashes in a community. Will global warming cause more deadly car crashes? In 2016, a cold snap of a record cold weather caused a bridge to split due to extreme cold, and it was closed indefinitely. This was in Canada. 2023, last year, climate change is taking its toll on bridges. As climate change increases the likelihood of extreme weather events, scientists predict more bridges stand at risk of failure. Hold on, we're not finished. March 1, 2024, this was literally 3 weeks and a couple days before the Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed due to the ship hitting the support beam. Climate change could shorten the lifespan of U.S. bridges. Rising seas, heavy precipitation, and extreme heat are causing corrosion, buckling, and cracking. The U.S. has more than 600,000 bridges, and they're not made to last forever. Hassan Mohammed, a professor at the Department of Civil Environmental Engineering at Colorado State University, says climate change can accelerate the process. Rising seas and heavy precipitation cause corrosion. Extreme heat causes materials to expand beyond what they're designed for, contributing to buckling or cracking. Increasing carbon pollution, or carbon dioxide, what humans exhale from their mouth, that's what they call carbon pollution, can even alter the pH of concrete, causing it to degrade faster. It sounds like we got to pass the Green New Deal or we're going to have bridges collapsing all over the world. That's exactly what this sounds like. 2019, New Scientist magazine, climate change may see 1 in 4 U.S. steel bridges collapse by 2040. Just understand what they just said. Climate change may see 1 in 4 U.S. steel bridges collapse by 2040. There are some 600,000 bridges in the United States. This is saying 1 in 4 of steel bridges. So that's a subset of all the bridges. And I don't have that data on how many are steel, but they're claiming 25% of steel bridges are going to collapse due to climate change. Quote, global warming could contribute to the failure in 1 of 4 steel bridges over the next 2 decades, unquote. So you see where this is headed. You have a very strange situation, and we're going to get into that in a moment. A giant cargo ship, foreign registry out of Singapore, with a foreign staff, suddenly has the lights go out. Suddenly the lights come on. Suddenly black a plume smoke. Suddenly they start, you know, steering erratically and drop an anchor, which doesn't do anything because of physics. It wasn't enough to slow it down. And steer right into the worst possible scenario, into the support beam of this bridge at 1:30 in the morning on a major artery with 30,000 cars pass. And now we're turning this into a climate change discussion. The Baltimore Sun, the hometown paper where this actually happened, is leading off the charge. All right, I will keep you posted. I'm sure there's going to be more people blaming this on climate, injecting climate change into this. All right, General Mike Flynn, the National Security Advisor for President Donald Trump, is weighing in on this. This is clip one. This is a news report about his tweet on this. He calls it a black swan event. It may not be all that it appears. I'm not saying I'm endorsing what Mike Flynn's saying. I'm telling you this is what some people are thinking. Clip one.
So here's Mike Flynn's post on X this afternoon. This is a black swan event, he says. Black swans normally come out of the world of the finance, not military. The standard operating procedures for all U.S. ports, harbors, and bays that transit commerce and military activities are supposed to maintain an incredible level of discipline, rigor, and awareness for these very type of events not to occur ever. Yet here we are. There are harbor masters for every single one of these transit points in America that are in charge of assuring the safety of navigation. Start there, he says. So start there. Talk to the harbor masters. Don't necessarily look at the boat itself. That's maybe a red herring. Look at the harbor masters.
And really what General Flynn is saying there is, let's not go to the FBI. Let's not go to the mayor of Baltimore. Let's not go to Pete Buttigieg, because all you're going to hear from them, and let's say it loud, let's say it clear, is bullshit. First thing the FBI says, no evidence is terrorism. You don't even have to say it. Just say copy, repeat. We say this every time something bad happens. You know, boom. It's just, that's the instant response. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay. And then you have, you know, any questions about this are going to be immediately shut down. They're going to come up with an official narrative of what happened, and that's it. Anyone who questions it, it's automatic. You know why it's going to be classified as misinformation? Because it disagrees with what the Department of Transportation claims happened. Doesn't matter if you have eyewitnesses, documents, the truth, videotape proof, you were there. Doesn't matter. If the United States government says this happened and you say something contrary or even slightly off, you are guilty of misinformation. You're not telling the truth because you disagree with the United States government. Boy, oh boy, wouldn't you love to see the anti-war protesters of the 60s, like the Pentagon says the Vietnam War is a just war going very well. Would they have accepted that? Well, you're misinformation. The government says it's a good war. How could you be opposed to it? You're wrong. You're misinforming. Anyway, again, I'm not buying anything that General Flynn's saying on that. I'm just saying that's interesting. And it's set up the fact that we went through COVID, The fact we have climate change, the fact the terrorism, the fact foreign policy discussions, whether aid to Ukraine, you can't question anything or you're automatically slapped with disinformation. Question the vaccine, you're misinformer, disinformer. And I can't remember, it was Doug Bandow from Cato. There's a new one I hadn't even heard of, which I have to look it up again. I can't remember. There's one that's even more sinister. They've got us coming always. And because there's no trust in the government and any of these institutions, conspiracy theories are going to go wild. I don't even like the phrase conspiracy theories. Remember, I'm the one who said in 2020 that conspiracy realities outnumbered conspiracy theories, finally. Okay. So we will keep you posted on this bridge collapse. I was able to confirm the bridge is about, I guess, 1977. So I can't do the math on that right now. Almost 50 years old, slightly over 50 years old, 53 years old, unless I'm off on that. That's 43 years old. Anyway, this bridge is going to be the focal point of everything right now, because this is going to affect coal exports. And I'm reporting this at Climate Depot. Massive slowdown in coal exports left from this port in Baltimore, which is now going to be under siege on the, then the roadways. It's going to affect supply chain. It's going to affect just massive amounts of goods and services that come through this port in Baltimore. And this is something that people need to understand, that you've got to keep an open process here, or you are going to get just wild conspiracy theories here. All right, let's move on here. RFK's vice presidential announcement, Nicole Shanahan, is still just losing support all across the board. And the actual event was kind of strange. Remember, this took place in San Francisco. Let's watch clip two. This is kind of surprising for RFK. On one hand, you could say, oh, it's just multicultural. But on the other hand, this is his announcement of his vice presidential pick in San Francisco Bay Area, opened with a land acknowledgement to the Miwako Ohlone Indian tribe. I probably butchered their name, my apologies. These land acknowledgements for the tribal people are used by radicals of the left to delegitimize the existence of the United States. In other words, our land was taken through war. It was unjust. Ergo, we don't really own the land. If you look at the history of the world, most land was taken in an unjust way. It wasn't all a peaceable transfer of money and a transfer of a title and deed. And even the first people, again, the myth of the noble eco-savage. I interviewed the author years ago when I went on a trip to London, Robert Whalen. The idea that indigenous people were at harmony and one with the earth. They drove whole herds of buffalo off of cliffs. They burned huge portions of Amazon rainforest. They're a violent culture that actually disrupted the earth and created violence. So the idea that they are this peace-loving, in harmony with the earth, all just myth-making. So anyway, let's watch RFK's event open with the Mukuma Ohlone Indian tribe and the land acknowledgement to basically say, we don't own this land. This land is your land. This land is not our land. This land belongs to the Native Americans. That's the new song. Anyway, clip to RFK's opening with the Indian tribe, Native Americans.
California, Northern California, can I hear a oh?
All right. First of all, my apologies. That ran too long. And number two, can you imagine what was the point of this? I think RFK has somehow done some internal calculation. He's appealing to the hard left now with his vice presidential running mate. And this kind of land acknowledgement from indigenous people, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, he's thinking he needs money and he needs ballot access. We'll see what happens. All right. Clip three, Fox News poll. Joe Biden's favorability dropped to 39%, far lower than ever for Donald Trump or RFK Jr. Clip three.
We have brand new Fox News polls on the current state of the presidential election in a hypothetical five-way ballot test, which includes Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein, all candidates. Former President Donald Trump is narrowly favored over President Biden with a five-point edge. That five-point difference also carries over to our head-to-head matchup, man-to-man. And on their favorable ratings, independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tops Trump and Biden with 47%, 45%, and 39%, respectively.
That's Brett Baer of Fox News. Yes, and there you have it. I think RFK Jr. may actually be looking at this saying, Biden is collapsing, and I need to shore up the Democratic Party base. He could have gone the other direction, pick someone as a crossover, a Jesse Ventura, for instance, and he chose not to. He went with a left-wing activist who's claiming she's left the Democratic Party, claiming all sorts of things, but I don't know enough about her and don't really care to investigate that much about her. We'll see how that plays out. All right, this is Marissa Teresa Kumato saying a vote for a third party is a vote for Trump. This is how worried the left is about RFK Jr.'s campaign. Clip four.
And one of the things that we're learning is that Latinos don't quite understand the totality of what Biden's agenda has done for them. And so they are susceptible, especially younger voters on TikTok and Instagram, this idea that if you don't like either candidate, perhaps you do third party. But let's be clear, a vote for third party is basically a de facto vote for Donald Trump.
And don't you love the way she said Hispanic Americans just aren't aware of all that Biden's done for them? Those stupid Hispanics, they're so ignorant. That's what she's claiming, that they're just not aware of how great Biden has been for the economy, for them. And this is so a vote for RFK is a vote for Trump. Well, they're worried. Okay, final clip. Australian Senator Ralph Babbitt, what happens when you exceed your carbon footprint? This is another, and Australia is full. It's a hotbed of very quality senators, Malcolm Roberts, many others, who are getting this, fighting the Great Reset. Let's go clip five on your carbon limit and the Great Reset.
Governments around the world have been relentless in their push for digital currency and digital ID. Now, I have continually warned here in this place that this is a recipe for disaster. What happens when your data is hacked? What happens when the government blocks your access to money or services as punishment for stepping out of line, like Nigel Farage? There's an example. What happens when you exceed your carbon limit and you discover that your ability to buy and sell is suddenly cut off? People who value freedom, and I hope that's most of us here, we will resist the push to digitize our lives, our identity, and our money. We must resist. While we still have cash, that form of currency that can be accessed without being under the prying, all-seeing eye of the state, we still remain free people. This freedom must not be taken, and it must not be surrendered by the people. We must hold on to cash.
Bravo. Great awareness. That's Senator, Australian Senator Ralph Babbitt, B-A-B-E-T. Well said. Fantastic. Keep this up. This is how we fight. You get our politicians doing it. You get the farmers going after it. We already reported early this week that the European version of the Green New Deal was halted in its tracks. And the reason, according to the EU officials and the corporate media, is the farmer protests, wildly supported by the public. Spraying manure on public buildings works. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin, an entrepreneur and free speech advocate who's launched several different social media platforms. We're going to talk about big tech, free speech, Ron DeSantis. Has he gone too far this time when it comes to free speech? Is his anti-woke fighting gone too far? This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We'll be right back with Jason Shepherd. Stay tuned.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his rival, his final rival, the former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT.
See it coming. It's pre-diabetes, and it captures one in three adults. You may not even know you have it, but you can escape. Take the 1-minute pre-diabetes risk test to know where you stand. With early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Be your own hero on smartphones everywhere at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Plug in.
Website
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. All right, joining the program now is Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin, entrepreneur, free speech advocate. He's also founded the dating app online here. So we're going to ask him about that. He's done major work in defending free speech on the internet, has competition for TikTok. Welcome to the program, Jason.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Good. And the website is dateontheright.com, I guess the only dating app for conservatives. So, all right, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in being a social media entrepreneur, if you will? I guess, is it your generation? Is everyone expected to just become, you know, social media savvy and go on from there? But how did you get involved and lay out what you think are the big problems right now with social media and what kind of reforms you're proposing and your companies are proposing?
Absolutely. So I actually was in healthcare IT at a large, actually the second largest insurer and health network in Pennsylvania in the tri-state area. And my team was tasked with administering 130,000 tests to some primary care physicians. We had 2,300 at the time, and these tests were unbeknownst to us. We were told in September of 2019, that's a very important time frame, that we had to set up protocols for the individual doctors to test and then send these test results not only back to, you know, to us as the healthcare provider and insurer, but also to the county health department. So they were COVID tests, obviously, was what I'm getting at. And we knew about this in September. You know, now we set this up, we didn't know about these tests really until what they were for until December or January. So I went to my higher ups and I'm like, I am not happy with this, first and foremost. Why did you know 4 months in advance of anybody else? And secondly, when the doctors started calling us and saying, hey, these are coming back almost 100% positive because we're testing for any coronavirus. You know, right now you and I probably are positive for two. So I said, well, hey, that's it. I'm done. The mass hysteria is not going to happen anymore under my watch. I mean, I'm not going to attribute to it, obviously, or contribute to it. And so I left and I started a site that was called World Must Know. And that's what Wimkin stands for, worldmustknownow.com. I'm sorry, World Must Know Now, and WMKN. But we actually, we were getting 30 to 40,000 hits a day on it, and people wanted to contribute more. They wanted to, you know, tell their stories about what was going on with COVID, vaccinations, how, you know, deaths were being reported falsely. We had, you know, healthcare and hospital administrators telling us on the site, we have to post, we have to tell you about what's going on. So that's when I got the idea to turn it into social media. And September of 2020, we launched on the app stores. By January of January of 21, after the alleged insurrection happened, we got blamed for that. We were banned 3 days after Parler was, when we were number one in both app stores. So they didn't like us, obviously. And the way Wymkin is set up, Wymkin is like a Facebook meets a YouTube meets Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and even an Instagram and a TikTok. We have reels. We have everything. You can live stream your show to us for 3+ hours. We allow 307 minutes per I'm sorry, 187 minutes per you know, live stream in, just in case you're doing a 3-hour show and you go over or something of that nature. We allow 100 gigabyte video uploads. We have voice calling, video chat, pretty much every marketplace, groups, pages. We have almost everything Facebook has plus more. So, you know, they didn't like that. They didn't like how many avenues we had to disseminate information. And the fact that we're free speech is obviously too much for them. So that's how that got started. And to go on in your questions here, you know, I started this to reform social media. I did not like what was happening, obviously, on Facebook. I mean, when I saw Save the Children hashtags get shut down, the president getting shut down, you know, all these aspects of what you're seeing when, you know, conservatives are censored. That's why Wymkin was really born. And that, and the fact, obviously, that the world needed to know what was going on. Hence, again, world must know. If you could see the logo behind me here, that's actually a panic button for the world to sound. So if you look at that, the W logo has, you know, the world on it. And if you remember the old Staples commercials where you hit the button and you got delivered what you needed, well, that's kind of where we got the idea for the Wymkin logo. So, but that's that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. The DeSantis bill, obviously, with what's going on in Florida, TikTok being, you know, potentially banned here. So, and when we talk about reform, if you have any specific questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, let's go back to Wymkin. You said you were banned right after Parler. Did you get reinstated, or how long were you banned? What's the status of that?
Yeah, we got reinstated about 8+ months later. I fought them. I would not bow to their demands. You know, not to talk about Parler bad in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, I respect Dan Bongino in many ways, shapes, and forms. But when you says you're fighting big tech tyranny by joining Parler, but you're back in the App Store 3 days later because you do what they ask you, that's not fighting big tech tyranny. That's bowing to it. So it took us 8 months to get back in. We would not listen to them. The only thing we ended up doing, Mark, was, and I agreed to it because they were actually right. In our marketing aspects on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store, we were coined as 100% uncensored. That's actually not true. We don't allow pornography. We don't allow nudity. And we don't allow posts with criminal element. So I agreed to that. So 8+ months later, they finally say, we don't care. We don't care about you anymore. You've caused us enough trouble. We had over 50,000 emails sent to them and probably about 5,000 per day when we were banned by users saying, let us back in the App Store, you know, plain and simple, because I publicized those email addresses because that's the only way to fight these people. It really is. But so, yeah, we got back in about 8+ months later. And then when that happened, 3 months after that, well, in that time frame, PayPal canceled us. Capital One canceled me personally and our businesses, obviously our businesses as well. PayPal, I think I already stated, canceled us, which we shouldn't have used in the first place. And then the House Select Committee comes in and tries to basically shut us down. And they tried to subpoena every piece of information on every user on our platform, which we do not comply with. The way Wymkin is set up is we are 100% encrypted. We do not even verify email addresses when you sign up. The only real information we have on users is their IP address when they log in. But if they're on a VPN or something, we don't even have that. So it wasn't like we told the government to go pound rocks or kick rocks. I mean, pound sand. We didn't say it like that. We just said, hey, the way we're designed, we cannot help you. They asked us for our algorithms, which we don't have. They asked us for what we thought malinformation, misinformation, and disinformation was for us to define it. And we just said, hey, look, if you use something specific, come back. We don't have credit card numbers of our users. We don't have phone numbers of our users. We didn't want that information because we saw this happening at some point down the line. So, you know, we're 100% private and they didn't like that either, but, you know, knock on wood, I'm gonna knock on my head because that's what we do in Pittsburgh. You know, I've not had any more problems with them after February of 22. They pretty much just said, we can't get anything from them. And we are a clean platform, you know, just because we allow free speech, we're not allowing criminal acts to happen. So I think they realized that and they let us off their radar.
So in terms of the House Select Committee, that was the January 6th issue. What was their big, you know, and in terms of COVID, they were just upset that you were obviously opposed to COVID lockdowns and I guess later by the vaccine. But in January 6th, what was the role that the sham January 6th committee wanted to even subpoena you over? What were they alleging? They were alleging you helped organize it, or that you helped, you were part of the attack on democracy. And so they were just trying to intimidate. What were they actually looking for, as far as you could tell?
So I think they were piggybacking off the fact that we were banned by the app stores. That got, and we got news in the Wall Street Journal, CNN, CBS, Chicago, which went pretty heavy on us. You know, this is when we were called domestic terrorists, racist, yeah, which is absolutely incredible to me. Insurrectionist, of course. You know, pretty much the worst things you can be called by your own country, of course. And, you know, I think that's why, because it was such public knowledge. We were, that story about us being banned in Apple came first, Google Play came about 5 days later. Both of those got picked up in pretty much every single main syndication in the United States, and also in, I think, maybe 200 more countries. So I think that's where they got us on the radar. And, you know, we've been mentioned, every person who was ever interviewed in these documents, which I've seen, you know, the transcripts of now, you know, they were literally asking us, or asking the defendants here, if they ever utilized us to disseminate information, if they ever utilized us to organize this alleged insurrection. And, you know, that was one way. And another way, which I've never heard of until I actually saw the article about us, nobody ever contacted us, but there is a covert division of the Postal Service under the Postal Inspection Service, which is the oldest law enforcement body in the United States. But they started something called ICOP, I-C-O-P. And they were looking at us with every single other body of law enforcement and sending internal memorandums about us and our content. So that's another reason why we were brought into this. And I would tell every single listener and, you know, person watching this to Google our name, W-I-M as in Mary, K-I-N as in Nancy, type in I-C-O-P, and you will be blown away by what your government thinks they can do to you.
Wow. When you, let's go back to when you were banned from the Play Stores, Apple and Google, and with, along with Parler. How many other apps were banned at that time? I remember that was a shock to me. That was like a red pill moment, when it's like, we are not in a free country anymore. And I was worried at the corporate government collusion, where you could just, yeah, the gatekeepers had that much power. Was there a lot of apps, or just a couple? Wimkin and Parler. Any other apps that you can think of?
You know, I think at that time it was just Parler and then Wimkin. I'm pretty sure that was it.
Well, that's an honor.
You know,
then,
you know, yeah, what? It was just, I mean, it technically was, but I mean, it cost us, even imagine how much money, you know, because we lost our ability to monetize. We lost our ability to utilize big tech programs for, you know, advertising. And when you're not an Apple and you're deplatformed by Apple, every single Apple user would have had to go to our website, because they're not going to sideload an app onto an iOS device.
No, exactly.
So, you know, and then anybody who was trying to download the app, even off our website for Android, because it wasn't in the Play Store, it would say this file could harm your device. So, right, you know, it destroys an app. It really does. It destroys a network. So, luckily we survived that, and it wasn't easy. You know, it's God's grace that got us through there. And, you know, the fact that I really believe this is my purpose, and, you know, that we really do offer a place for individuals to learn truth and speak their own opinions. And, but yeah, that's pretty much the story with that. You know, at this point in time, we're a little bit worried about some things that's coming down the line with the Restrict Act and things, because when you've already gone through with what we've gone through as a very small app, you know, a very new app at that point in time, you know, it's very troublesome, very worrisome to see how, you know, even Republicans on this side now, and Democrats for the Restrict Act and the banning of TikTok, which, if you recall, when Trump said this app should be banned, the entire left went against him, which isn't, I mean, he could say, I'm going to give you each $10,000, and they would get mad about that. Yeah. They would say, this guy's nuts. But they wouldn't reject the money. Somehow they get the money. But, you know, but that's, it's now this bipartisan support really makes me nervous, because it seems like it's all about control now. And we went through that with COVID in the run up to this election, the last election, and this one's far more important, and they are far more desperate. So there's really no telling what they're capable of at this time frame right now.
We'll talk about TikTok, you know, after we do our break later, but I'm just going to go back, because this was a real watershed moment. As I said, when you and Parler, Wimkin and Parler, were taken off of the Play Stores, It made me realize I run a climate website and I had WordPress and I use MailChimp for my email. I use WordPress for the blog. You know, I've already read where MailChimp was already going to be cracking down on, you know, misinformation. There's a day where we could wake up and through corporate government collusion and all of these new measures, you know, you could be banned from doing a blog. You could be banned from your email list. You've already mentioned you were debanked. I think you said Bank of America. I have Gmail accounts. I have Gmail accounts. People don't realize how close they are to being, I guess, in the modern digital age. What's the word? Depersoned, unpersoned, canceled? I don't know what you'd call it. But just spend a second on that. Yeah. Is that a real threat of all these groups, you know, at some point? Imagine, say, COVID 2.0, right? Where they come out, especially under a Democrat, and they just say, this is worse than ever. We can't allow any dissent, any misinformation. Don't you see everyone from WordPress to Apple to Google to MailChimp all just colluding together, Gmail, and just saying, you're not even going to be able to communicate. You can't even text AT&T, Verizon. Are we at a level where that's a real threat, or is that a more Orwellian, distant 1984 threat?
I don't think it's Orwellian at all, and I don't think it's that far away. I mean, I firmly believe Trump is going to win this election, but if they somehow try to steal this election and they get back in, I think we're really going to see that. I think Trump truly is our saving grace in not allowing these things to happen to the American people. But, you know, we've already seen the draconian measures, you know, shutting down worship, shutting down schools during COVID, you know, not on a federal level, but the states, that Trump gave them the power to do whatever. I thought that was one of the smartest things he's ever done. He didn't go out there and say, we're shutting down the country. So, you know, but we've seen that already. And, you know, they're doing it now, Mark. MailChimp banned us. There's probably, honestly, and it was Capital One, not Bank of America, just to clarify. I didn't want either of us getting sued by Bank of America.
Yes.
But seriously, it's we've been canceled by Constant Contact. We've been canceled by MailChimp. You know, all these big tech companies, GoDaddy, even all we did was register the domain with GoDaddy. They shut us down without warning, to where we had to scramble. And when you don't have DNS, as you know, running a website, you don't have a website. So, you know, realistically, that was just unbelievable that they did that. We've had server companies cancel us. So the left does stay in tandem. And the left to me is mainstream media, big tech, and obviously Democratic politicians.
Wow. All right. Well, so where do we stand now in terms of, you know, I know Michael Schellenberger has done a lot of work. We've had Elon Musk exposing the so-called Twitter files. We now know that the deep state, for lack of a better word, our intelligence agencies, FBI, CIA, defense intelligence, colluded with big tech for misinformation, disinformation. We know the Biden administration worked with big tech and said, hey, let's get Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off of this app. Let's get all these other, any COVID doctors who dissented from what Anthony Fauci claimed was true. You know, that was pretty shocking stuff to a huge section of the population. Of course, the other population just loves it because it's their team winning, right? But is that changing? Are you optimistic? I feel like there has been at least a big exposure, people like yourself and a lot of other of these, especially the Elon Musk Twitter file releases. What do you think's happening? Is it actually changing, or is it just more people are aware, but we're still in the minority and we still have an uphill battle?
So I think there's definitely a monumental uphill battle, and until we change that regime, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I really think it's more or less people are waking up now to this, and they say, okay, you know what? I mean, they're seeing it with Trump's indictments too. People that are independent, and, you know, even some on the left are saying, you know, we really have to take a look at this abstractly. Like, this could happen to us, you know. And if Trump does get in there, as obviously they took his concept out of, you know, being a dictator for one day, you know, if he did go out there and he wanted to exact revenge, he could do that to them. He literally could weaponize his US DOJ. Don't think he would. But you know what? If I had a bad day or something and I didn't like somebody, after what they've done to me, or if I was Trump and after what they've done to me, I'd say, you know what? Maybe I do want to do this just to say this is what happened to me. But that, I think he's above that. I really do. But, you know, the Twitter files, I mean, yeah. I mean, we've been through so much. So it would be interesting to see that. But, you know, but the Twitter files were definitely a pivotal point for everybody. I think we all knew what was going on there. And for us to find out that it was worse than it was, the FBI was paying. And they were also, they had residency. They literally had office space in Twitter. So, you know, Matt Taibbi, when he released those, was fantastic. But I mean, we still have issues with Twitter. I've been trying to get my account back that has 700,000 followers. I can't get it back. I wanted, when Musk was having trouble losing advertisers, I wanted to advertise Wimkin. We are nothing like Twitter. We are more like a Facebook, and nobody's going to leave Twitter for Wimkin. They might join Wimkin, but they're not going to leave Twitter. So I paid, I think it was $2,500 for ads. And when I did that, I got, the way this went down is at last year's CPAC, people said, hey, please get back on. You know, Musk owns this now. So I got back on thinking I'd get my account back. Didn't. So the new account I signed up for was on there for 3 days. When I paid for advertising for Wimkin, I got banned again under Musk. So, and you know, Musk also stated that you can't promote other platforms and things, which is not true free speech. So I have a problem with that. I don't think Musk is who he says he is. There's no doubt in my mind that that is true, at least in my heart. But so yeah, there's still an uphill battle with that. I mean, Parler, I know, is back out into a certain sense, but people don't understand. Another thing that your users and listeners should really look up, and it's startling to me that people didn't know this, but just type in the number 70, TB for terabyte, and type in Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. You will see that probably 75% of the people who went to prison and are in prison for January 6th are because of Parler. That was a honeypot setup. And John Matz, who founded it, was an AWS employee. Remember how they got deplatformed? Don't you think he would have known AWS would have done that when he worked there for 6 years? And then to think about it, just to send a message on their platform, they called it Citizens, you had to send your ID. So Amazon had all your IDs. Like it's unbelievable that people on the conservative side don't research these things, because it's dangerous. People truly need to realize that, hey, they are building a war against us. Politicians have said we're coming for Trump supporters, literally at press conferences have said these things. So it's time that people wake up and they really do find alternative social media like us and stop making these mistakes, really.
Well, let me just give a quick comment, personal comment on both Parler and Rumble, which I tried to use. I still use Rumble occasionally, but they're patterned after, I guess, alternative against the mainstream. The problem is Rumble compared to YouTube in terms of user functionality and interface, YouTube blows it out of the water. YouTube, you can easily download, you can subscribe, watch later in the app. I have the Android app of Rumble. You still can't save a video to watch later in it. You can do it from the website. I don't know about the Apple app. But I always just say, you know, we deserve to lose our free speech because so many of these touted alternatives were failing. I'm specifically referring to that. And Parler, I tried many times to make sense. Just, I thought it was a horrible app. I was actually relieved when it got pulled off the App Store because I didn't want anything to do with it again. And I've never even tried something like Truth Social, but I will give Wimkin a try. And just comment on that, though. I mean, it just seems as though huge number of these alternative independents just failed at the basic interface level. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. And they were trying to capitalize on the market. I agree with you 100%, Mark. I mean, truthfully, they were trying to capitalize on the market, plain and simple. They utilized even Truth Social. They utilized Mastodon code, which is about 16 years old, and you can't really manipulate it into having features. You know, when Trump's face is that platform, and obviously, I think they just got $11 billion, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you have to justify getting that money by having the features that people need. And we build ourselves like Facebook, plain and simple, because Facebook is the model. Facebook has the most people on earth on it, and I don't think anybody will ever touch those numbers, plain and simple. So we wanted to build something for conservatives to where they actually had those features and the ability to disseminate information instead of just retruthing a post or Getter. You know, you can only upload 3 to 6 minute videos. That's it. You know, on Wimkin, you can upload entire press conferences. You can upload your entire show. We allow 100 gigabytes per post. So, you know, we build ourselves right. Video chat. We have people that utilize our app for, you know, phone conversations, plain and simple, throughout the entire world. We basically have our own Skype. Well, more or less like a Facebook Messenger built into the app. So pretty much anything you can do on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, in terms of uploading, you know, large videos and commenting and things of that nature and watching things live, we have those features, you know, so really nobody in the free speech world can touch what we do.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're talking with Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin, free speech advocate. When we come back, Jason, I'd like to talk to you about what in the world's going on with Ron DeSantis, and also talk to you about the TikTok ban. So this is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jason Shepherd.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
We all know what it's like to feel alone. But it just takes one new connection.
Want to get out of here?
To empower many.
This is unbelievable.
It doesn't take a superhero to bring forces together. We all have the power to reach out.
Let's go!
And help someone feel like they belong.
Pretty cool, huh?
We are stronger together.
Fearless, informative, and unfettered. Mark Morano is Unleashed on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We're talking with Jason Shepherd, founder of DateOnTheRight.com, founder of Wimkin, free speech advocate. All right, Jason, what's going on with Ron DeSantis? This is just a little flavor. The Associated Press, not that I trust them, but Florida's DeSantis signs one of the country's most restrictive social media bans for minors. And the ban will ban social media accounts for children under 14, require parental permission for 14 and 15-year-olds. And it looks like he's already signed it and it's going to take effect. Is Ron DeSantis fighting the woke agenda? Is this the right thing to do? Or is he actually appears to be usurping parental rights? What's going on here in your view?
Oh, see, this is, in my opinion, a better debate than the Restrict Act and TikTok, which I know we're going to get to, because this comes down to the root of parenting. This comes down to the fact, like you just said, is he usurping, you know, parental rights here? And now, obviously, I'm okay to do anything to better children's chances to be safe online. There's no doubt about that. I mean, our Realtor app alternative, which we now we're going to have to rewrite because of these bills that are coming out. You know, we have age groups from 3 to 8 for education and things of that nature, 9 to 12 that are served certain types of videos, you know, cartoons, trucks, you know, baseball, things of that nature for what we believe teens want at that time, or you know, 9 to 12-year-olds want. 13 to 17, you get a little bit more mature content, you know, what they want to see, maybe movie stuff, you know, whatever's out there, college stuff, because they're on their way. And then 18 plus, which it's more geared towards adults. It's not adult content. It's so hard to say that, but you know, it's more or less that. So, you know, we built, here we go, and we built an app to rival TikTok, and now we have to change everything because none of those, anybody 14 and under is not allowed to have social media in Florida now. I think that's absurd because there's no way you can even enforce that. What are you going to do? Are you going to lock up the parents because they're allowing a 13-year-old to go on social media? You're going to make all these individuals who have been on there for maybe 4 or 5 years delete their accounts. You know, you are literally going to hurt individuals. Like there's people on YouTube that make millions of dollars that are under 14 years old. You know, there's plenty of child stars on there that they're going to not be able to make money in Florida now. And God forbid they take this thing national, which I would imagine they would have to do at some point if this actually doesn't survive the First Amendment fights that NetChoice and Meta and X. And actually, I think we're going to file a front of the court brief in that. I really do, because it's necessary for us to say our piece, because $50,000 per instance, a fine, if you actually don't verify that someone is, you know, over 14 wow. years old with a parental waiver, that's insane. Plus $10,000 stipend to the individual each time it happens. So don't you think there's going to be 13-year-olds out there banding together and saying, let's not get verified. Let's go out there and say we're 18, but we're 13 and let's just make all this money. This bill is absurd. I can see something like Okay, if you want to put a waiver in there for kids under 13, parents have to sign off on that. Now, there's going to be a way for kids to fake that. But you gotta realize that stuff's going to happen. You know, they can go and if they ever want to go to IDs, like you have to scan your ID as the parent. I mean, how many times did you go in your mom or dad's, you know, purse or wallet when you were younger and take a buck or something? So that's going to happen. But it also comes down to this too, Mark. You're going to get so much, you know, lashing out by parents and negative feedback from this based on the fact that, okay, everyone probably, I don't even know how much of the workforce has gone back in the United States, let alone in Florida. But, you know, I'd say it's probably 30% after COVID is actually not working from home right now. You know, when it comes down to it, babysitting is probably not the right term for this, but you know, when people need to work and they're 14-year-old or 13-year-olds in the house, they're going to be maybe on TikTok, not so much on Facebook anymore because it's not a young crowd, but that's how people get through their day. Their children, they know, are more than capable and mature enough and responsible enough to utilize these things. You know, sometimes you won't see your child for 5 or 6 hours while you're working. And that's almost necessary because they drove us into our homes. So you're going to get a lot of pushback on this from parents when they realize, oh my goodness gracious, what am I going to do now? And granted, it would be a great thing. The addiction factor to this stuff is wild. But I think maybe just push that, you know, do this for children under 10, maybe, you know, or you can push it maybe to 12. But, you know, it's really trampling on, you know, the First Amendment rights of almost everybody involved in this. And there's no age limit to our rights. As soon as you're born, you have them. Now, granted, I guess most people under 14 are not going to really understand them, but they still do have them. And that's when the parents need to step up and say, hey, listen, you're calling me a bad parent right now by signing this bill. You are putting this out there saying that I cannot manage my son or daughter if they're utilizing social media. Meanwhile, they've been on it for 5 years. So I don't see it. I don't see it being enforceable. I think it's going to hurt platforms like us specifically. And coming from Ron DeSantis, who is a, you know, self-proclaimed freedom fighter, I don't see it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think this hurts his legacy. All right. In 2 minutes, we only have 2 minutes left. I'm sorry. TikTok ban. Okay. Should we all be rah-rah bipartisan bill? This is the greatest thing ever. We're going to stick it to the Chinese. We don't want them spying on us. Let's empower the Biden administration to essentially be able to determine what's a national security threat and ban it. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, Biden says that, hey, you know, I'll sign the bill, but he's on there trying to get young voters. He's literally using something right now. He's using the TikTok app that no federal employees can use. So, and no state employees that I understand. I'm pretty sure every state has banned it as well for their employees. So this guy is out there saying, I need young voters, so I'm going to utilize this app that we're about to ban. I agree with a lot of the facts that it's a national security threat. I certainly believe the CCP engineered this. The content that has served the children is absolutely insane. I mean, you can have a five-year-old on there looking at somebody eating cereal out of a toilet bowl. You have little Johnny laying in traffic because it's a TikTok challenge. They are doing this on purpose to us. They are serving this filth to our children because they don't allow this app in China. They are strengthening themselves, you know, through education and hard work, whereas they're sending all this filth to us to dumb us down. So I am for banning it if they don't change it. I'm certainly not for banning anything, to be honest with you, but when it comes down to something like this, it's concerning. And if they can just change it, get the algorithm over here and, you know, make it safer, that's fine with me.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're out of time. Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin Social Media. Thank you for taking the time today. And this has been Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We will see you in the next hour. Thanks for watching.